Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's good to have you here this evening. It's Sunday, January 19th, 2025. I guess Ed is laughing because we were checking our mics right before we came on the air, and I said, why don't we cache our mics? Why is it always check? I've got such a corny sense of humor. It's good to be here. We're here every Sunday evening as we can be on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we've had some pretty cold weather here in Virginia lately.
There's snow sticking around.
It is staying around. Usually it's gone within a few days, and it's been here for well over a week now. But you know what? It's been beautiful as far as the sun shining.
Yes.
It's been nice and clear. And it's good to be alive, whether it's warm or cold. You know, life is good. God has been really good to us, even in a terrible world that we live in.
Right.
You know, it's good to be alive. And, you know, first of all, we would like to thank Ray Powers for giving us this platform here on New Visions Radio. Each and every week, he allows us to come on here and open God's Word and talk about the Bible. And Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry and what we do here at Prophecies of Hope.
Well, we're a little ministry in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and we've been around since 2012. We have been at our current location since 2015, 1743 West Beverly Street, Stanton, Virginia. And our goal really is just to be a small little ministry in this local area, but also to reach, I guess, across the world, because we have people that join us in different countries around the world.
They do.
And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., available via Zoom. And we have our church service on the Sabbath, or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we start that at 9:30 in the morning, available via live stream or Zoom. And we have our worship hour, our worship service at 11, which is live streamed.
Yeah, so there's a few things that set this ministry apart, and you mentioned we're a little ministry. You know, I think a lot of churches and ministries are looking for numbers. You know, they want the church to get big. We would love for the church to get big.
Yes.
But we're not going to compromise what the Bible says in order to grow the church.
Yeah, the gospel, the real gospel, the words written on the page of the Bible is not popular in the world, let alone the Christian church.
And this is another thing that sets this ministry apart. The things that we speak about from the Bible, the things that we teach that are in the Bible, if you don't adapt them to what people like, it can be very controversial.
Yes.
And we can't take God's word and twist it. Well, we can, but we never should.
Right.
Right? We should always just, I love the way you put it, Ed, let's just read the words on the page.
Right.
Let's just see what it says.
Peter's suggestion is to speak as the oracles of God, or just speaks the same words that the Bible speaks.
Amen. And, you know, we saw that a couple of weeks ago as we were going through this study. We looked at the words that Stephen said.
Yes.
And he spoke the words of truth. He gave them a recounting of the history. And we're going to review some of that this evening. We're going to be talking about that. But you know, also, just in case, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Ed, how do they reach you?
They can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
All right. And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. If you would like to join us via Zoom for the Bible study or the prayer meet, just send us an email and we'll make sure you get that link.
Yes.
Also, if you'd like a copy of the Bible, we would love for you to have a Bible in your hand. We would love for you to open it and read it. When we have these studies, we want you to open that Bible or use the app on your phone or your computer program and read along with us.
Make sure we're saying or speaking the words on the page, nothing different.
Amen. That's so important. And, you know, it's just because sometimes what can happen, translations of the Bible can be a little bit different. So we like to compare those translations too. So we want to encourage you to try to read your Bible on a daily basis, even if it's just picking one verse or just saying, you know, I'm just going to read a chapter today. Some people will just pick a book of the Bible and just say, I'm just going to read 5 or 6 verses a day and think about those things through the day. So this ministry is all about encouraging people to draw close to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Get to know them. read the Bible, see what it says, believe it because it says it. And so that's just a little bit about this ministry and what we do here. And, you know, if you're ever in this area, we'd love for you to stop and see us.
Yeah.
We'd love to meet you. We had somebody pop in on us from Greece.
Yes.
That had somehow they found us online, and he traveled all the way here from Greece to meet us.
Yeah, there's some guy with a bicycle on the front porch of the church. They go, who is that?
That was so funny. And when he said he was from Greece, we asked him, did you ride the bike all the way from Greece? Oh, it was so funny. But anyway, so you know what? We always like to ask for God's blessing and his direction on our studies. So Ed, would you pray for us?
Sure, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, mm-hmm. and to see what it says, to see how it can affect our lives today, to give it hope, give us hope in our lives, give us direction in our lives. And Father, most of all, lets us know of your love for us and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent here. Father, as we study these things, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand them and then to apply them to our lives. And we ask for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we left off last week. We've been talking a lot about Israel. And when we hear what most churches are saying, many churches, when they think of Israel, what are they thinking of when churches are pointing to Israel?
Well, they're talking about the current nation over in the Middle East of Israel.
Sure. And when we read the Bible, we see that it mentions Israel.
Their ancestors.
Yeah. Yes, they're mentioned often. But what we've been looking at is that the Israel of the Bible is not necessarily pointing to today's nation of Israel.
Right.
This is what we've been learning.
Right.
And this is very, very different than what most people have been taught, than what most people are being taught, and than what the vast majority of churches are pushing. They're misunderstanding, unfortunately. They're not reading the words on the page of the Bible.
Right. We'll eventually get to the book of Revelation and see where there's some misunderstanding by most churches when it talks about what's happening in a certain place in Israel.
Yes.
And that is influencing a lot of the hype today about Israel and the Christian church.
Remember, the devil wants to distract you. He doesn't care what ditch, if you're in the left ditch or the right ditch, he doesn't want you on that narrow road to life.
Right.
He wants to get you off of that path, and by whatever means he has to do it, that's what he's going to try to do. And so last week we went back to Daniel chapter 9.
Right.
So where are we going to pick up this week?
Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13.
All right. And if you missed that program, friends, they will be archived on the website. So Acts chapter 10?
Yeah, and start in verse 13. What we're going to look at is Christ has died on the cross. He has risen again. And the early Christian church is going about its business, preaching the gospel. And we'll continue to see the reaction of Israel, the Jewish nation and Jewish leaders, to this preaching of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So let's read verses 13 through 48. And we can stop and talk about things as we need to.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? Acts chapter 10. Now, I want to state this before we begin. This Acts chapter 10, you said?
13.
Acts chapter 13. Okay, no, then forget my statement. For some reason, I was thinking chapter 10.
No, Acts 13, starting in verse 13.
Okay, did you want me to read?
Yeah, go ahead and start.
You stop me where you want to stop.
Okay.
So I'm reading from the New King James. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, and they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down, And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.
So they're at a Jewish synagogue, and they've sat down. It's on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week.
Okay.
And after reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue says to them, their visitors, do you have any words of comfort for the people?
Right.
And, you know, if so, go ahead and speak. And this is Paul's kind of like mini sermon that he's going to preach to them that we're going to read next.
Sure. Yep. So this is Paul who was once Saul.
Yes.
Okay. So verse 16 is where we're picking up. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and an uplifted arm, and with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. Didn't we read about that 40 years last week?
Yeah.
We talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so verse 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. Now, this is a different Saul than who Paul was.
Right.
This was King Saul.
King Saul, yes.
Right, in the Old Testament.
The first king of Israel.
Okay, very good. That's good to know. Verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That's very important.
Yes.
Doing the will of God. That's really all he asks.
Right.
And this is an important part of who is Israel,
yes,
isn't it? Verse 23. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose.
Talking about Jesus.
Yes.
And this is John the Baptist.
Yes, thanks for clarifying that. Verse 26, Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in the condemning him.
Interesting, because they had just read the words of the law and the prophets before Paul started speaking.
Okay, very good. So verse 28?
Yes.
And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes.
That's another misunderstanding
right.
in Christianity. Verse 31. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption.
That means his body decayed.
Yes.
His body returned to the dust.
Absolutely, just like Genesis says it would.
Yes.
verse 37. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption, speaking of Jesus. Verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days. I work which you will by no means believe. A work. Wow, I could not get that right. A work by which
my Bible says, a work which you shall in no way believe.
Thank you, Ed.
Though a man declare it to you.
Yes, a work which you will by no means believe. Why couldn't I read that?
Who's declaring it to them right now?
Paul is actually saying this. Yes. He's stating this.
And he's declaring the gospel to them.
Amen.
He's declaring Jesus is the Son of God that God raised up.
It's amazing. And this is a quote from the Old Testament, from Habakkuk chapter 1. Not a very well-known book.
No.
Verse 42. Let's see if I can continue reading. How far are we going?
To 48.
Okay. So picking up in verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Who begged that the words should be preached again?
It says the Gentiles.
Yes.
So these are not Jewish people.
Right.
Right? And they were there on what day?
On the seventh day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they knew if they were going to worship the one true God, where they needed to be and when.
Yeah, right.
Right? And verse 43. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Can I stop here just for a second? You know, the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. You would think they would be ecstatic that people were coming to the synagogue to hear the truth of God's word.
But they were Gentiles.
That's the problem, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They wanted to keep it to themselves.
Right.
They didn't want it going out to the Gentiles.
So they said the opposite of whatever Paul said.
They were pressing against
it. It says they blasphemed.
Yes. Yeah. And this is talking about the nation of Israel. This is talking about the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders.
They were again rejecting God and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, because if you reject the Son, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father.
Right.
The Son brings the Father to us,
right?
Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." Wow. For so the Lord has commanded us, "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. That's amazing. Keep going.
No, let's go ahead and stop there. This continued rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're going to continue to see as we go through Acts, the book of Acts. But, you know, it's interesting that in verse 46, you know, he says, "It was necessary for the word of God to be spoken to you first."
Mm-hmm.
"But since indeed you put it far from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the nations."
Right.
By rejecting this message, by rejecting Jesus Christ, they were saying, "We don't want eternal life."
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Now, there's just so people know, we've said this before, but we don't know how many people are listening for the first time. The reason it was necessary for this to go to the Jews first is because they already knew the oracles of God. They knew and understood through the sanctuary service that these things were, they were supposed to know that they were pointing to the Messiah,
right,
to the one who Paul is preaching about. And so they're still rejecting him. Now they're saying, no, we don't want that change. We want to keep the sanctuary service going. But by this time, that curtain had been torn in two.
Right.
And all of those things were to have ceased.
You know, Paul says the same thing. We read about it, I think, a week or two ago, where he says that God has raised up this Jesus and has sent him to you first.
Right.
To turn you away from your iniquities or from sin.
Sure. And that's to help us to overcome sin.
Right. And Paul is talking about that here in chapter 13 that we're
of reading. Acts, yeah.
And yeah. So it's this continued preaching of the gospel, forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, to receive justification through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to have Christ take away our iniquity or sin in our lives, to overcome sin.
Sure. So it was the Jews' responsibility to preach this gospel to the world. That's why I went to them first. They knew these things.
You can't preach something you don't believe.
That's very true. And at least you can't preach it with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. There are some people that are paid to preach things, right?
Right.
And they'll preach things that are not true to keep their job.
You know what's interesting, and I hadn't realized this, I don't know if it's the same in most Christian churches, but the church I grew up in, I remember hearing an elderly man who had retired and was doing this seminar that I went to as a pastor. And he says, now I can preach anything I want. They can't tell me what I have to preach.
Wow. Yeah, the only thing that should tell us what we have to preach is God's Word, the Bible. That's it. And that's what we should be preaching. If we're preaching something different, then we're preaching another Jesus.
And this man had been a gangbanger in New York City.
Wow.
And you know, to Jesus and had given his life to preaching the gospel. Kind of like Paul.
Yeah. A total change of life.
Yeah.
So this is the thing though, friends. This message was given to the Jews. They rejected it and they didn't preach it.
Right. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. And again, this is Paul's testimony, more of a personal testimony. And we see what happens as he was speaking this before a Jewish congregation or a Jewish crowd that was trying to actually persecute him, put him to death.
Okay, Acts 22.
Acts 22, starting in verse 6, and we'll go through 23.
All right. Are you reading or am I reading?
Let me start. This is the modern King James. And it happened to me, traveling and drawing near to Damascus, suddenly, about midday, a great light out of heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Now, how was Paul persecuting Jesus?
By rejecting him.
But he was also persecuting those who believed in
him. That's true, yeah.
And that way he was persecuting Jesus as well.
That's very true. If you persecute those who want to follow, then you're persecuting the one they're following.
Verse 9, And they who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go to Damascus. Again, this is Jesus, Lord, that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And there it shall be told you all things which are appointed for you to do. And I did not see because of the glory of that light. Being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, testified by all the Jews who lived there, coming to me and standing up, said to me, Brother Saul, look up. And the same hour I looked up on him. Otherwise, he received his sight again. He was no longer blind. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will, to see the just one, and to hear a voice out of his mouth, talking about Jesus. And you shall be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what do you intend? Arise and be baptized, and I'll wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, or calling on the name of Jesus. And it happened to me, I was returning to Jerusalem and praying in the temple, and I became in an ecstasy, or a vision. And I saw him say to me, hurry and go quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I was imprisoning and beating those who believed on you throughout the synagogues. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was poured out, I also was standing by and consenting to his death. And behold, the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the nations. And they listened to him until this word. And then they lifted up their voice, saying, take such one from the earth, for it is not fitting that he should live. And they shouted and tore their garments and threw dust in the air.
Mm.
Paul is giving his testimony about his experience with Jesus, his testimony of Jesus telling him to leave Jerusalem and go to the Gentiles, his testimony about his participation in the death of Stephen. And when he said that, go, for I will send you far away to the nations, that's when they said, this one's not fitting that he should live.
Yes.
Their total rejection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
So we saw the rejection at the beginning of Acts. We saw this. This is what he's reflecting back on, what happened with Stephen when he was stoned to death. Paul was there. He was Saul at that time before he became Paul, before he was a converted man. And now he's reflecting back. So they rejected Christ at the cross. They rejected Christ after the cross. He's talking here, they're still rejecting Christ.
They were rejecting God when he sent prophets to them in the Old Testament to get them to change their ways. And these prophets spoke of Jesus Christ, the same ones that spoke what Jesus come to this earth to do, where he would be born.
Right.
You know, all these prophecies about Jesus that Christ fulfilled, and yet they still rejected him.
Yeah.
And they were rejecting the message that God gave the prophets to what the term what they would use to their fathers.
Mm. And, you know, this is terrible because we think about right from the very beginning, God made a promise that he would send a son, a seed. You know, this is very important that we remember that word, that there were two seeds in the Old Testament, because as we go through the study, we're going to see there's a seed, right? The seed of the woman is actually going to be Christ, and that's what we've been studying that on Wednesday nights a lot. But the thing is with the seed, this God promised in the book of Genesis that he would make a way out, a way of escape from the sinful world to give us eternal life. And this is what that whole sacrificial system was pointing to.
Right.
And then when Christ finally came, gave his life, they're rejecting it. And even after the fact, being able to reflect back and compare all of those prophecies, they're so envious of the Gentiles, they're going to cling to this thing that they just want to hang on to,
right?
Almost out of a hatred, out of a jealousy. That happens to people, doesn't it?
Yes.
They get to a point to where they're so angry they'll not change. They will not change.
They are so convinced that they have the truth, that they alone are right, that their understanding is correct, even though someone can easily read the words on the page of God's Word, even back then, and know that it's not. So convinced that God is with them because they still have this temple, which would be destroyed in AD 70.
Right. It was destroyed.
Yeah. And so it's the same today with many churches and many people in those churches.
Yeah.
And it is so difficult even to have a conversation with people, because they're so convinced That they have the truth.
I was taught that all of my life, Ed.
So was I.
And I found out that my church did not have the truth.
Right.
They were teaching a different Jesus than what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And so, you know, just reading the words on the page. And friends, this is hard to do. You know, the things that Paul is preaching here, these are not easy things to stand up and say when you're in the face of those who believe something completely different.
Right.
Imagine standing up in your church right now, the church that you go to. You might see some of these things and say, wow, you know, Israel is not the Israel that I thought it was.
Right.
And standing up to your pastor, to your elders, to mm-hmm. the deacons, to your family, to your friends, and saying these things, that's what Paul is doing here.
And it may not go well.
It likely will not go well.
Yeah.
I mean, and Ed, I've had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You've had to do this. The consequences are different for everyone.
Right.
And for some, they may be more severe than others. And friends, this is the choice that each individual has to make. Your church is not going to save you.
Right.
It's the blood of Christ that saves you. Faith that Christ came and gave his life for you. The Jews were here, as we're reading through Acts, the Jews are still rejecting what he did.
Let's go to Romans chapter 11.
Okay.
And Mark, if you could read the first five verses. We're probably going to go through the most of the chapter,
okay.
But let's start with the first five.
Romans 11, beginning in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
I say then that God has cast away his people. Or it actually says, why can't I read today?
I don't know.
What's up with that? I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, were you going to say something, Ed?
No.
Okay. Saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
Paul is saying, even though the nation as a whole has rejected God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that there's a remnant, even in that day that Paul's speaking.
What is a remnant, Ed?
A small remaining portion.
Ah. So it's not the whole nation.
Not even a half, not a third, not even a quarter. It's a very small amount.
Yeah. When we had carpet put in our home, there was a little piece that was left over, and they said, do you want this remnant? And it was just a little strip.
Right.
So it was just a tiny little piece of that whole carpet. So that gives you an idea. This remnant's going to be a very small group.
Let's keep reading. Let me read maybe up to verse 10, starting in verse 6 of Romans 11. Actually, I'm going to read verse 5.
Okay.
Even so, then, also in this present time, a remnant according to the election of grace has come into being. But if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which it seeks, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Can you see that in Paul's experience, the
yes.
experience of Stephen, that the majority of them were hardened against the gospel?
Yes, they were.
Even as it is written, God gave to them a spirit of slumber, eyes not seeing and ears not hearing until this day. And David said, let their table become a snare and a snap and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so they may not see, and their back always bowing. Why does he say that? Why does God say that? Because of their continual rejection of God.
Yeah. They were rebellious.
Yes.
They disobeyed. They didn't do the things that God asked them to do. And God's asking Israel to accept his son. And what are they doing? They're disobeying.
Yeah. All right, let's keep reading. Can you pick up in verse 11?
Sure. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify myself. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being wild, a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partner of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted. They'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?
Go ahead and stop there.
Sure.
So here we're talking about this riches is the riches of the gospel. And since the Jews rejected it, the Gentiles received these riches of the gospel and through faith believed, even though the nation of Israel as a whole did not believe.
Hmm.
And Paul is hoping in verse 14, if by any means I might provoke those who are my flesh to jealousy and might save some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't say all of them.
No.
So that's a small group, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's using this example of a wild olive tree and a natural one. And that the Gentiles are these wild olive trees that their branches are grafted into this natural olive tree.
Mm.
And it warns them. It says, you know, don't speak unkindly about the original branches because God can graft them back in if they do not continue in unbelief.
Mm. So being grafted in, what he's saying is they can be a part of this nation that God chose.
Right. Part of the church of God.
Right. Know? So it's not a literal nation. It's
no.
People who do the will of God.
Yes.
And
it doesn't matter if you're, we'll read this in Galatians, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're male or female, slave or master.
Right.
They're all the same.
Right. And this is what's misunderstood today.
Yes.
So many people, their eyes are focused on the nation of Israel, thinking that they are God's chosen people. Even countries make choices and decisions based on the fact that they think that Israel are a special people.
Right.
And Israel was a special people.
Right.
And spiritually, Israel is a special
right.
people.
Let's look at that. Read verses 25 through 30.
Okay, this is Romans 11, picking up in verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Is that where you wanted me to stop?
Sure. So here it says, all of Israel shall be saved. All of Israel is this olive tree where the Gentiles grafted in.
Correct.
And we can see that in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29.
Yeah, if we look at the context of Romans 11, you have to draw that conclusion.
Right.
You can't believe otherwise. So Galatians 3?
Chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There cannot be Jew or Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
So look,
Israel claims to be the children of Abraham.
That's what they even argued with Jesus over that.
Yeah, and Paul is saying, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek referring to Gentile.
So look at this carefully, Ed, in verse 26. For you are all sons of God, not because you're the nation of Israel.
Right.
What is it?
Through faith in Christ Jesus, which includes the nation of Israel.
It does, so long as they accept Christ.
Right.
But if they're rejecting Christ, they are not Abraham's seed.
Right.
Didn't Jesus had this argument with the Pharisees.
Right.
They claimed, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the will of my Father. Isn't that what he said?
Right. Yeah.
And then, what's the will of his Father? That they accept the Son.
Right. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son.
Right. To save the world.
Right, including the nation of Israel.
Absolutely. And so if they openly reject, if they're saying, no, I do not believe that God has a son, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then they are not Israel.
But remember, there's a remnant that Paul talks about.
There is. We just saw that.
Yeah.
So again, can you read that text again now that we've discussed it for a moment?
Sure. Let's start in verse 26 of Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Mm-hmm. There cannot be Jew or Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And it talks about being baptized into Christ, into Jesus, so you can put on Christ.
Yes. And so I want to clarify this because, unfortunately, in this world that we live in, there are people who are going to read this and think something different. When it says there is neither male nor female, it's just simply saying that God is not partial to one over the other.
One is not more important than the other.
Salvation is for everyone who accepts Christ. That's what it's saying. We must know that Jesus is the Son of the living God and accept the fact that he came and gave his life, that he was resurrected, and that he lives again. And we have to accept him into our hearts that we can be changed.
Right.
This is all part of the gospel message. This is all what was being pointed to in all of the Old Testament.
This is the same gospel that was preached to the nation of Israel in the wilderness.
Amen.
It's the same gospel for the Jew and for the Gentile. It's
absolutely
no different.
In fact, when they came out of the wilderness, when they came through the Red Sea, weren't there many people that came with them. It wasn't just Israelites.
Yes.
And they were saved because of the faith they showed in what God was doing.
Right.
And they went with it. They went through with it. And that's what saved them through the Red Sea and got them out of bondage.
Let's go to, to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read 11 through 22.
Okay. Ephesians 2.
And this is the modern King James Version. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, the nations in time past, were in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So he's talking about the nations or the Gentiles. They were called uncircumcised by the Jews. And of course, when he says uncircumcision, he's referring to the Gentiles. And when he says circumcision, he's referring to the Jews. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off are made near by the blood of Christ, talking about the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. For he is our peace, he making us both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So he's making both the Jew and the Gentile one.
That's the grafting in that we're talking about.
Verse 15, have abolished in his flesh the enmity, or that disagreement, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one into one new man, making peace between them. And so that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity in himself. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, both the Jew who was near and the Gentile who was afar off. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father, talking about the Spirit of Christ. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom every building, having been fitly framed together, grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a dwelling place of the God through the Spirit. Now we have a different temple, a different sanctuary, where we can experience the Spirit of God through his Son in our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
There's no longer need for this physical temple.
So this Jesus is the cornerstone.
Yes.
Right? He's the very foundation of the church. So if any person or any nation or any church or whatever it is rejects Christ as the Son of God, they cannot be grafted into this. They cannot be God's people. We cannot be God's sons if we reject the Son of God.
Right.
We cannot be.
Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile.
Doesn't matter what your heritage, what church you go to, whether you think you have the truth or not, who your pastor is. My mom and dad went to this church for years. My grandfather was. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You as an individual have to accept Christ. This is what Paul did. He accepted Christ, and it didn't go over well with the people that knew him.
Right.
And so when you accept Jesus Christ, when you stand up for what the Bible says, your life will change for the good, better than you can imagine. But don't expect it to be all easy.
So when Paul in Romans 11 says, all of Israel shall be saved, he's talking about this Jew and Gentile made into one.
Believers, right.
And so it's the same Jesus, the same sacrifice on the cross, the same Spirit of Christ that enters into our hearts and minds, crying, Abba, Father. Doesn't matter who you are. That's the way of salvation.
Amen. There's a unity in the faith. and that's by accepting Jesus Christ as God's Son. And this, it's, I have to say it, this lie that is being perpetrated on, in the Christian church, that the, because of the nation, because of their nationality, they're God's people. What did we just read over and over again? It's being denounced very clearly in the Bible. How can we read these words and say that if they are openly, or they're in their hearts rejecting the Son of God, then they can't be Israel?
Right.
As we're
reading. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16.
Okay.
And this is where a section of scripture that people really hang on to. It's a great misunderstanding. Here we have in verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial. These are the last plagues just before Christ comes again. And the sixth angel pours out his vial on the great rivers Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the rising of the sun might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that day, the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is the one who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
Mm.
That name Armageddon refers to a place in the nation of Israel called Har-Megiddo.
Right. Some might call it the Valley of Megiddo.
Yeah. And so when people read this, they say, Jesus is going to gather all his people in this place called Armageddon. That's not what this is saying.
No, it's not.
If you look at verse 13 and 14, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and all the world to gather them to the battle of that day, the great day of the God Almighty. Now, verse 15 is a parenthetical thought. It's just adding more information.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus' word saying, behold, I'm coming as a thief.
Right.
You know, keep watching. Keep your garments clean. Verse 16, and he gathered them into the place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, is speaking of these spirits of demons.
Right.
You have to understand the Greek language. And I know, Mark, you may say, well, the New Testament's all Greek to me.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. It's written in Greek. But you have to understand that these spirits in verse 14, there's no gender given to them. They're called a neuter. There's no male or female. They're a neuter.
Right.
And in Greek, when you have a neuter and the following verb is singular, you know, and 14 thought continues in 16, and so it says he gathered is referring to the spirits of demons.
Okay, mine says, and they gathered them together.
Yeah. And you'll say, well, Ed, you're just against this idea of Israel. No,
no.
This is how Greek works.
Right.
I had to learn this.
Sure.
I had to study this. And you know what? I'm not alone. Let me read the Good News Bible.
Okay.
And see what it says in verse 16. Then the spirits brought the kings together in the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon.
Right.
Let's look at God's Word.
The God's Word translation, right?
Yes. The spirits gathered the kings at the place which is called Armageddon in Hebrew. Let's look at the easy-to-read version. Then the evil spirits gathered the rulers together to this place that in Hebrew was called Armageddon. All these writers or the translators of the contemporary version of the Bible understood this Greek rule of grammar.
Sure.
And they interpreted it correctly.
That's why the New King James does that. It doesn't use the word spirits, but it talks about the spirits of demons, and then it says, and they gathered them.
And so people in many Christian churches are claiming this verse represents Jesus gathering his people in Israel. So that's why so many people are so excited about what's happening in Israel.
But that's because, a distraction.
But they're misunderstanding, misapplying this prophecy, this scripture.
Yeah.
It's talking about gathering the evil spirits, gathering the kings of the earth, the rulers of the whole world, for a battle on that great day of God, for this battle of Armageddon in Megiddo.
I think it's Megiddo. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Which is actually a hill, some might call it a mountain, in the nation of Israel.
Right. And so, you know, there's so much misunderstanding about this, but if we take Scripture as a whole, even if we didn't know these grammar rules, Ed, from all of the things that we've discussed so far, that we've seen, all of the Bible verses, if you reject Jesus, you cannot be God's.
Right.
And it's just that simple.
So somehow they think in their minds that the nation of Israel, which still rejects Jesus Christ as the Son of God, somehow Jesus is going to gather all his people there in a place that rejects him.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Paul said there's a remnant. There's going to be a remnant.
Right.
I believe that. But as a whole, the nation has rejected Jesus Christ.
They have. So maybe, Ed, next week we can just kind of summarize this whole study and wrap it up and you know, just kind of review a lot of the things that we've seen. This has been a while we've been talking about this, because this is a point that so many people are misled. That's why we've spent so much time here. We're out of time this evening.
All right.
And thank you for, you know, friends, look these things up. Look up that rule in Greek. You can find it. It's very easy to find if you just do a little study on it. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for this study. We're thankful to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just ask, Father, that you will open our hearts and minds. Help us to want to know the truth. Help us to not reject your Son, but to want to receive him into our minds and our hearts. Father, I just ask that you will help people to not be deceived. Help us to just read the words on the page. Give us peace in our hearts. And Father, we look forward to the coming of your Son, Jesus. We ask that you'll be with us until we come together again. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ed, thanks so much. And we look forward to next Sunday, friends, right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.